It's in prayer before God as we prepare our hearts to hear His word for us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for the family of yours here that is gathered here. Lord, I pray that you will speak through Randy this morning. Empower his words. Open our hearts, Lord. May your spirit guide in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Tim was leading that song, and as he was looking back over the audience, how many smiling faces, how many happy faces did he really see that were enjoying being here in the company of God's family and as part of God's family? I trust it was a joy to you to be able to prepare and come to the morning worship service this morning. As we've gathered here as God's family, and I don't know if Tim, I mentioned when we got together for prayer a little bit of what my message was on. I don't know if Tim picked those songs before or afterwards, but they went very well with what I'm going to share this morning. As we think about God's family and being a part of God's family, and even the song, "Oh, to be like thee," to journey with our brothers and sisters and to catch God's heart in relation to caring for each other and to journey with each other through the good times and through the bad times of life, to weep together and to cry together and to laugh together and have good times of joy as well. And this morning, as I was, or throughout as I was thinking about processing what to share for this morning, I was thinking about, you know, this is the beginning of a new Sunday school year for us. There's a lot of new things. We had some people that were baptized last Sunday, so we have some new believers. We have a new believers class that's operating. We have a new small group starting toward the end of the month. We have new small group leaders and some new beginnings here this morning. And as I was thinking about, you know, this functioning together, learning to function together in the roles that God has called us to within the church family and within the church body, you know, my mind went to our bodies. And I'm going to look at Ephesians 4 this morning for a passage, so you can turn there in your Bibles if you want. But Paul uses that analogy of our bodies. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, you know, the way that our bodies function and the incredible, the amazing masterpieces that they are of creation that God has given to us. You know, as we think about our bodies and some interesting facts about our bodies, that our body gives off enough heat in 30 minutes to bring half a gallon of water to a boil. That's a lot of energy that's putting out. So think of how much heat is in this room as you count the bodies and think about how much water you could boil within the 45 minutes of my sermon. There's a lot of energy that's being put out here this morning. Another interesting tidbit, that humans shed about 600,000 particles of skin every hour. So while I'm up here preaching, you're shedding off skin while you're sitting there. It's no wonder we need church cleaners and people to come along and clean up behind us. But we are shedding off 600,000 particles of skin every hour. Every adult produces 300 billion new cells. Every day, an adult produces 300 billion new cells. So even while you're sleeping, your body's at work. You're using up energy. And it's incredible the process that our body has, the way God has put it in motion, that our body produces new cells. Old cells die and there's new cells there to take its place. We don't wake up in the morning and half of our body's missing because the cells weren't reproduced. But our bodies continue to reproduce cells to take the place of the ones that are dying off. The human body is estimated to have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. To put that in perspective, the distance around the earth is about 25,000 miles. Taking the distance your blood vessels could travel if laid end to end would be more than two times around the earth's circumference. So that's an awful lot of blood vessels that are you and you and I this morning. as we sit here, and our heart is pumping blood through those vessels all the time. 60,000 miles worth of blood vessels. During your lifetime, you will produce enough saliva to fill 2 swimming pools. How's that for an interesting fact about your body? But to think about your body and just the marvelous creation that it is and the way your body works and functions together, in order for things to be right, in order for things to happen, you use 200 muscles to take one step. And depending how you divide up the muscle groups, you use in the neighborhood of 200 muscles. And that's a lot of work for the muscles, considering that most of us take about 10,000 steps a day. It's estimated. So more or less for some of us, I'm sure. Those of us that sit at desks, maybe not quite as much, but 10,000 steps a day. That's a lot of function together. That's a lot of energy. The muscles somehow have to get the nutrition and the energy they need in order to move us and to carry us from place to place to fill those 10,000 steps. And the body, the systems of our body, you know, there's simplistically looking at the body, we have cells, and the cells make up our organs. The organs then function within a system that they're part of, whether it's the respiratory system or the muscular system or the skeletal structure. But the systems then, the organs function then within a system, and those systems are intertwined in functioning together, in producing movement and the body functions. And then we have the body as a whole. As I look at you this morning, I don't see body parts. I see a person, a whole person that's sitting there. But you're made up of cells and organs and systems, and they're all put together, and they all function together in a way that God designed to give us life and to give us the energy we need and to allow us to go about our day's activities and allow us to come and sit here in church this morning and fellowship together and worship Him together. But the systems of our body depend on each other in order to be able to function. As I'm running, as I'm exercising in the morning, as I was thinking about this message and as I was out running the other day, I was thinking about the systems that were at work. You know, my muscles, my bones are there. They're supporting my muscles. My muscles are attached to them. My stomach is digesting the food that I need and giving it into the bloodstream that's carrying it to those muscles to give them energy. My lungs are breathing hard and rapidly as I'm running to get the oxygen in place so that I don't run out of oxygen. And all those systems are intertwined so that I can run down the road. They're all working together in the way that God and the special functions and ways that God has made them so that I can function in the way that God has designed me to function and to operate. This morning I'd like to look at Ephesians 4, as I said, and I'm going to take some verses and some thoughts from that passage. I was going to read the whole passage, but I don't think I will for sake of time. I'm going to start at verse 1 and read down to verse 24. Let's stand as we read God's Word this morning. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is also the one... Sorry, let me start over. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter after all. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You may be seated. This morning I'm going to focus primarily on verse 16. But I have a couple questions as we look at these verses. Going back to verse 12, what does it say? As we look at, Paul lists a bunch of gifts that God gave to the church for the church to use and for the purpose of His body. What does Paul say in verse 16? He says He gave these gifts for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? It doesn't say the work of the pastors, not the work of the ministers, but it's the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry that Paul is talking about here in verse 12? It's the edifying of the saints, right? That's what the work of the ministry is, the edifying of the saints. And so, who is to do the work of the ministry? The saints. The saints are to do the work of the ministry. Who are the saints? That's you and that's me, right? That's each one of us. It's not the work of the pastors, but it's the work of the saints is to minister and to edify, to build up the body of Christ. It's not just the pastor's responsibility or just the small group leaders or a particular person in particular, but it's the work of the saints to build up the body of Christ. And as we look at verse 16, and as he begins to use the analogy of the body, he says, from whom the whole body, the source, Christ is the source. Let me talk about that just for a minute. Christ is the source, not man. And I think there's some things that we need to keep in mind, some things we know about the church, but I think sometimes we kind of forget that. The church was Christ's plan. The church, the body, is God's idea, not man's idea. It wasn't a group of men that liked to hang out together that the church kind of evolved from there and became an entity or a body. But the church was designed by God, and God sent Jesus for the church. The church, Jesus came, Christ came and gave His life for the church. And the church is established through Christ coming and giving His life. The church was Christ's plan. The church is not the building. The building is simply a meeting place for the children of God, for the citizens of Christ's kingdom to come and meet together. A town meeting hall, if you will. It's not a social club. But the church is made up of citizens of God's kingdom. People who have welcomed the reign of King Jesus into their hearts and relationships. And the local church and its programs and structure are simply the visible outworkings, a means of working out the values that are part of the kingdom. That's what the church is for, and the local church is that, a place where the values of the kingdoms are worked out in the lives of the citizens of God's people as we care for each other, as we build God's kingdom together. And it's much like a body that's comprised of all the systems and organs that Paul is talking about here in verse 16. And Christ is the head. He is in control. We as a body follow His direction as the leader, as the head and the brain give orders to the body and move the different body parts and coordinate the body functions. So Christ is to be the leader, and He is the head of the church. And the church is designed to follow His direction. The body does not work too well if it is not following the direction of the brain in a human, in a physical body. And the church does not function at all or very well if it does not follow the leading of the head and the direction that Christ gives. And as we move on down through this verse, Paul goes on to say that Christ, from whom the whole body, the complete figure, is brought into focus here. No part is left out or excluded. Paul's not talking to a particular part of the body as he goes on into what he's about to say, but he's talking to the body as a whole. No matter what the position or part of the body might be, we are part of Christ's body and His direction, and the verses, the instruction that Paul is giving is directed to every part in particular, to every individual part, to the body as a whole. And so he says, from whom the whole body, which is joined and held together. You know, the body of Christ, too, is to be bonded together. You know, in our physical bodies, there's no such thing as a detachable body part. At least I couldn't think of any. Unless you got a glass eye or false teeth or something like that. And they're not really body parts, so they don't really count. There are no detachable body parts. You know, if a body part is separate from the body, it's because there was an outside force that came and that severed it from the body. And unless that body part is reattached, that part is going to die. The bonds, the things that tie the body together, are put there as a permanent attachment. They're a permanent connection. We cannot, as a body, we're designed to function within the context. As a Christian, we are designed to function within the context of the body. We are part of the body. We cannot function on our own. We are joined and held together. And it takes working and cooperation to function together as a body. And Paul, as he, in the first part of this chapter, pleads with the, or instructs the church in Ephesus to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to keep those joints in place, to keep the things intact that hold us together and that draw us together as a church. We're designed to be together and to function together. We have a common purpose. We have a common goal. And as we look at verses 12 and 13, that goal is to grow and to mature into manhood. And Paul says that we are to, the edifying of the body is to happen until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, as children are growing, sometimes their mom will mark on the door and oh, you know, Johnny's 3 and then 5 and then 7, and the marks keep growing, and you know, our children like to come and stand up beside us and say, "Hey, look, I'm almost as big as you, Dad. You know, I've only got a few more inches to grow," or "Dad, I'm taller than you now." And we measure our marks of maturity by in our growth by those that we know that have reached maturity in their growth. They've reached the end of their growth. And our children look forward to the time where they're full grown. They're as tall as mom and dad. And I believe that's what Paul is saying here, that the measure of the stature, we're to grow, we're to edify, we're to build each other up until we've reached the point where we look like Christ. Until the church can function together as His body and it represents Jesus in a real and a true way to the world. That's the measure of the stature. That's what our goal should be as we function together as the body. That's what joins us and holds us together as we function and grow together. The unity that we have is a measurement of our maturity and not demanding our own way, but laying aside our rights and our preferences for the good of the body. It's maturing to be like Christ. The body is to be joined and held together by bonds, just as our physical bodies are. We're to be joined by what? Joined and held together by what every joint, by every joint with which the body is equipped. You know, one of my Bibles at home reads this way. That we're to be held together in the bonds, the joints and ligaments are held together through every assisting bond. You know, every part of the body is joined to the rest of the body. It is held in place, and it's a permanent bond that's there, as I mentioned before. And every part contributes to that bond. As we eat food and as the nutrients go into our body, it strengthens the bonds of our body and ties it together. And every part contributes to that joining and to that unity that's there. But every joint is important. Every individual part is important. Every part that makes up the whole body. And God has equipped our bodies with the individual parts that it needs to function the way He has designed it. I don't know, we all have things about ourselves probably that we don't like or that we would change if we could. But for the most part, in general, I don't think there's too much that we could do that would improve on our bodies. God has given us, human beings in general aren't born with a deficiency that is obvious, all right? We're not born with just one eye and with two eye sockets but just one eyeball, all right? So that we'd say, why in the world, what was our Creator thinking? Why didn't He give us two eyes? No, we're born with two eyes. We're born complete. We're not born with only one foot, with two legs but only one foot. We're born with all the parts that we need in order for our body to function correctly. We have been provided with what we need to be complete. And I believe that the same is true with the church body. You know, God has placed you here. God has placed me here for a particular reason. In order to complete His body, you have a role to fill, and I have a role to fill here within the body of Christ. In order for the body to be complete, in order for it to be what He has planned, in order for us to reach maturity, God has placed each of us here to fill that part and to fill that role. Are we willing to fill the role that He has planned? Are we willing to be that joint that He uses to equip the body so that it can grow and mature and reach the measure of who Christ is? We have been placed here by God. And when every part is working properly, as the body should, we enjoy life. And we can go out and we can accomplish a lot of things. We can do a lot of things. God has designed it that way. But you know, we're all familiar with people whose bodies where a certain part is not functioning as it was designed to. People with diabetes. I grew up with a brother with diabetes and he had to take insulin shots because there was part of his body that wasn't functioning the way it was designed to. With my heart, I take medications because there's some things about the way I am that, you know, cause issues. And if I don't take some medications, it could have further complications. There's even people who suffer from autoimmune diseases where the body tends to attack itself and destroy itself and life is difficult. And, you know, sadly, we see some of those same malfunctions of the body within the church body, where people don't get along, and there's tension, and there's people can't work together, and there's difficulties, and people do even attack and destroy each other verbally. But they can't get along. They can't even sit in the same pew. They can't be in the same small groups. And it becomes destructive and detrimental to the health and growth of the body. But when each person is doing his part and is filling the role that God has called him to and is participating in life as the church body and is willing to be a part and to plug in and to get involved, God's body can function, and it begins to grow, and it begins to mature, and begins to become what God intended his body to be, what Christ intended his body to be. And as people are willing to fill their roles, and as they're willing to take their part in the body of Christ, growth happens. You know, it's interesting to watch babies grow, but I know when my children were younger, I didn't take them out and sit them in the yard and wait for God to zap them with a growth spurt. That's kind of a ridiculous notion. I mean, it's even a far-fetched analogy. I didn't sit and wait for God to somehow strike them and make them grow suddenly, and that's how growth happens. That wasn't my expectation. I knew that growth didn't happen that way. And none of us do. We know that that's not the way it happens. We know that growth happens because of the way the body functions. We give food to our children, to our babies. They take it into their bodies. The systems in their bodies work to break down the nutrients, and it goes out into their bodies. It's not something that happens by God suddenly striking them or suddenly zapping them in some kind of a supernatural way. But people grow, babies grow because their body functions the way that God designed it to. And each part plays its role in caring for the other parts of the body. The blood takes the nutrients from the stomach and the small intestine and carries it to the muscles. And the muscles can grow and the bones can grow and the person develops. Because each part of the body is giving to another part of the body that has need. And the body can grow and mature and become what we would expect to happen. If any part of that begins to break down, if the nutrients from the food are not ingested and taken out to the rest of the body, growth doesn't happen. And eventually that child will die if that is not changed. And the same with breathing. Our lungs take in oxygen, but they don't keep it for themselves. They take it and it gets put into the bloodstream, and the bloodstream and the heart work to carry that blood through those 60,000 miles of blood vessels out into the muscles and out into the nerves and the other parts of the body. And so each part of the body is giving so that the other part of the body can live and grow and mature. That's how growth happens. That's how growth happens in our physical bodies. How does growth happen in our spiritual bodies? How does growth happen within our church body? You know, suppose we as a church, as Wilmersdorf Church, suppose we were the cells and organs functioning within a human body, and I won't suggest what organ you might be, but suppose we were the cells and organs of a physical body. How healthy of a body, how healthy of a person would that make in the way that we function together as a church, in the way we relate to each other, in the way we build and encourage each other in our roles that we fill and in our role within the body of Christ, in our journey with Christ. Suppose that some of the cells and organs within your body decided that they were going to have the same attitude towards your body that you did about church. All right? Well, your lungs might say, you know, I certainly, or your stomach might say rather, well, I certainly wasn't fed very well today. Guess I'm going to go find another body to be a part of. And off your stomach goes to another body because it's going to get better food somewhere else. Or suppose your body, your kidney might say, you know, what's in it for me? What's in this body for me? I thought the body was supposed to take care of me. I thought that's what the body was for. And here I am, I'm filtering all this blood, and you know, I'm doing this, but I thought the body was for me. I'm supposed to come here, I'm supposed to receive something. I'm not getting anything. I'm going to leave. I'm going to find another body where I can... I don't know what they're expecting to get, but so the kidney leaves the body. And the liver speaks up and says, listen, you don't really understand. I can't function here in this same body with that nasty kidney. I'm leaving too. I mean, you know how he is. I can't function if I'm in that same small group system with that nasty kidney. It just doesn't happen. You know, the kidney and I just don't get along. I'm leaving. But you know, and that's why I asked the question, you know, as a body, if we are the body of Christ, but if we were a physical body, how healthy of a body would we make because of the relationships and the way we relate and our willingness to become involved and be involved in the lives and in the support of the people around us? Because Christ's body is no different than our body. The members of Christ's body here at Wilmersdorf, we cannot function independently. We need the body of Christ in order to grow, in order to maintain life with the Father. But we are the nutrient bearers to the other parts of the body, as it were. In looking and making the comparison to a physical body, we are the ones. God has designed that you and I are the ones that carry what is needed to the other parts of the body. You know, when I get sick, and I need medication, I go to the doctor. The doctor doesn't pull medication out of thin air. The doctor takes things that God has put into our world, and they put them into a pill form, and I take that into my body. And so really the source of my medication is things that God has created. And so each of us carry messages from God. We are God's instrument to carry encouragement into the lives of other people, into the lives of other parts of the body as they function. Are we willing to do that? God's design is that within His body, the church, people are the means He uses to bring growth and change in the life of the body, to bring maturity. People. God uses people. You know, I talked about setting a child out, and God doesn't zap that child to bring physical growth. And God doesn't typically do that. God doesn't typically do that either in a spiritual sense. There are some people where God uses supernatural events to get their attention and to change things in their life. But typically growth occurs in my life and in your life because of the people around me that are willing to speak into my life and to encourage me and to surround me with the care and the input and even the tough things that I need to hear that are spoken into my life. And so God has designed that growth happens through people. God uses people. People who are willing to become involved in the lives of each other is what brings about growth. And you know, as I was thinking about this a lot, especially in the context of small group. And so I want to use that as the challenge to us. I want to challenge our perspective on church life in general, and in small group in particular. Because it's easy for us to come to church and to come to small group with the what's in it for me perspective. What am I going to get out of small group? Why am I, you know, why participate? What am I going to get out? What's in it for me? And it's sort of like a candy scramble, I guess, in the middle of a bunch of children where you throw out candy, and eventually, because no one's putting more candy and the candy's all gone and the children are fighting over the last piece, but there's no more candy, it's soon empty because no one's putting anything in. And so I think small group can kind of be like that, because we all go with the attitude of what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Can we go instead to small group with a willingness and a desire to give, to participate, and to encourage the others in my group? To be a support to the others, to be a friend, to simply build friendships, to get to know people, and to see it as a time that I can learn to know you in a way that I probably wouldn't get to know you otherwise. And I can build friendships, and I can learn what you're going through, and I can hear that, and I can journey with you, as we talked about in our songs, through the joys and through the difficult times of life. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And I believe I would like to encourage us in our perspective of small group that we go with a desire to give, with a desire to build friendships, with a desire to build relationships and to encourage the other person, that we go with a desire to be a nutrient bearer in the body, to encourage the other parts of the body that are there. And I really do believe that if we go motivated by our desire to be a part of someone else's life and to bring that encouragement to them, that I have a feeling that we're going to receive far more from our small group than what we give. I really do believe that. That our small groups are going to be places where growth happens, where encouragement happens, where people are encouraged in their journey, in their walk with God, and the body will grow. And I want to encourage us also, as we think of maybe a perspective of, you know, I don't need another things to do on a Wednesday night perspective of small group. And Wednesday night and Sunday night and small group meetings become a part of just the whole thing of, you know, I don't really need another thing to do. But I would really encourage you to reevaluate your priorities. Where is the body of Christ on your priority list? How important is it to you to engage in the functions and the activities of the body of Christ? And there are probably other, as we think of Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and I don't need another thing to do, maybe there's other things, even though we don't really want to admit it, that we're giving priority to, that are crowding out the nights where we need to be involved in contributing to the body of Christ. Again, going back, the church is God's plan. And as we participate in God's plan, I believe we receive a special blessing from Him. But it's important, I believe, that we evaluate our priorities and see why we are doing what we're doing, why we're filling our life with the things we are, and are the things that really matter, are they important to us? Just in closing then, God's plan for the body is that each one of us support and encourage and edify the parts of the body. How well are you, how well am I filling that role? Because I believe that we are either enabling the growth of the body or we're causing its dysfunction. I don't believe there's a middle ground. We're either enabling the growth of the body or we're blocking the nutrients and the flow of nutrients and preventing the growth of the body of Christ. We're either carrying the nutrients of God's love to the other parts of the body or we're blocking that flow and preventing growth in the body of Christ. We need each other to grow. You cannot grow without the church, and the church cannot grow without you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the way that you have designed the body to care for each other. And Father, it's through that care for each other that the body grows, and you've designed it that way. And God, I pray that you would impress on our minds and on our hearts the need for us to be involved for our own growth, but also for the growth of others around us, that we would care for each other as a body cares for itself, that your body here at Wilmersdorf could grow and mature and become the body that shows to the world what Jesus is really like. And I pray that you continue your work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.